It's in a bag. Let me set it up right here. I tell you why, I was preaching here a while back, and the Lord gave me like three messages out of one chapter in like a 1 month period of time, which is unusual for me. So this is one of them right there. And this message is called The Tale of Five Bibles. And if you would, turn to 2 Kings. All right, let's see. In 2 Kings 22, we're going to read in, let's just start in verse 1. 2 Kings 22, 1. Josiah was, I was hearing all them pages turn, that's a beautiful sound, amen. You know, I preached one time in a church, and every day they'd say, okay, now everybody that has a Bible, raise your hand. I preached for 3 weeks in this church, okay? And the third week I was getting sick of it, amen. Okay, everybody that brought their Bible today, raise your hand. So during the preaching, I said, okay now, everybody that has their Bible opened, raise your hand. Oh man, that went over like a lead balloon, amen. You know what started it? The head deacon had been sick for 2 weeks, and then on the third week, I honestly thought God wanted me to take this little church over. The third week, the head deacon was there, and he opened the church up, and I got there like, you know, a half hour, hour early, and I walk in the vestibule, whatever you want to call that area, and it smelled like he'd been smoking a cigar in there. Oh, buddy, that set the whole day off, amen. They didn't invite me back after that. So anyway, all right, 2 Kings 22. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jediah, the daughter of Adiah of Bosketh. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Now jump down to verse 8. Let's read verse 3 first. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, verse 8, and Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house, and have delivered into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Now jump over to chapter 23. Chapter 23 and verse 1. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant which was found in the house of the Lord. Father, thank you, God, just for your love and your grace, God. Thank you for saving my soul. Just thank me for, Lord, just thank you, God, just for letting me be able to preach here, God. And now I pray, Lord, you just slow me down. And Father, just help me preach and set me aside, Father, and let your Holy Spirit have free course, please. And Lord, just touch the hearts of these people. And most of all, Lord, help us just uplift your Son, Jesus Christ. For Lord, we are not worthy of anything, and he's worthy of everything, God. We love you, Lord, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we have Josiah, and he's 8 years old when he began to reign. And he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Thank God, here's finally a king. Okay, you guys quit yawning now. Come on, let's get up and do rapture drills. Come on. I want you to turn to 2 Chronicles 7 while we're here, while we're chasing rabbits, amen. 2 Chronicles 7:14. You have evangelists and everything that come over, and you know what? For years they've used this verse as a revival verse, you know. And 2 Chronicles 7:14. And it says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And what we have here is we have Josiah, and you see, he sent Shaphan to the temple, and you know what? They found the Word of God. And here was a man that was right with God, alright, and he sent the man, they found the Word of God in the temple, alright. That's what we need. I just thank God. Has everybody got a Bible tonight? Thank God we can find a Bible in this church, amen. Because believe it or not, there's a lot of churches in America you can't find the Word of God, amen. But what do they want? They need a revival, amen. So what are you guys having? You guys having a revival here coming up in June, amen. You know what we need? We need revived. So, you know, evangelists come in and everything, and they say, turn to 2 Chronicles 7:14. Bless God if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and repent and quit your fornicating, quit your drinking, quit your smoking. You know what, folks? You can do all that stuff. That don't bring revival. You know what brings revival? They found the Word of God. And you know what they did? They read it. They read it. Here's a man that says he was right in the eyes of God, and what happened? They read the Word of God to the king, and here's a man that was right. He wanted to live right. He wanted to do right. He wanted to go to church. He wanted to bring all of his family and raise his kids up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But when they read the Word of God to him, you know what he did? Look in verse 11, 22:11. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he what? He rent his clothes. Here's a man that's right with God and wants to live clean and wants his family to live clean. He wants to do right. He don't want to do all that bad stuff. But when he gets into the Word of God, you know what happens? It's like a light bulb goes off and that Word of God shows him, you know what, buddy? You're not as clean on the inside as you thought you were. So I was painting a preacher friend of mine's front door the other day, and it was the inside of the front door, and he had black oil based paint, high gloss oil based paint, and it wasn't real lit room, his living room. So I painted the thing. All I had was a little throwaway cheap dollar paintbrush. So I painted that door, and me and Dennis stood back and we said, "Man, that thing beautiful, amen." We got that thing, man. Look at that thing, man. That thing looked good, amen. So he went and got a little flashlight, and he shined his flashlight on that door, and oh, folks, what was it? It was disgusting. You could see every little streak mark in that thing, and he doubled and triple coated, amen. But you know what? It looked beautiful until when? Until you shine the light on it, amen. And Josiah was a good man, amen. Until what? Until they read the Word of God, and they shined the light on him. The greatest revival that ever came to Judah came not by quitting your drinking and quitting your smoking and the fornicating. It came when the people got in the Word of God and read the Word of God. You want God to bless you? You want your revival right now? Then get in that book. Brother Spurgeon's coming when? What, another month? Next month? Folks, you got a month. You know how you get blessed at revivals? Is you get right before it starts. And then God can deal with you. You don't have to get all that sin out of your lives. Shine that light on there. Amen. So what we have, number one, what we have? We have the Word of God. The first Bible. What is it? It's my Bible. It's my study Bible. Revival comes from this book. Souls are saved from this book. Amen. Study. To show thyself approved unto God, workman needeth not to be ashamed. Amen. Let me tell you something. Do I soul win to show myself approved unto God? No. Do I pray to show myself approved unto God? No. What do? Study. Study. Study the Word of God. Let that Word of God be like that flashlight. The lamp unto my feet and the light unto my path. Let it shine before you and show you where you're making your mistakes. Let that Word of God sink deep down in your soul and reveal to you. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of your heart. Don't do that. It's the Word of God. Amen. It's the Word of God. Now you what? Clean through the Word. Amen. What is it? It's your daily Bible reading. Your daily Bible reading. It was amazing, but the Lord gave me three messages out of one chapter, and you know how I got them? My daily Bible reading. They just jump up at me. Boom. So what happened? Man, I'm reading through their daily Bible reading, and I'm getting through there. You know, I'm getting 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, bomb. First 10 chapters, you know, I'm 6 weeks later, you know, I got bogged down. Amen. No, but the Word of God's like that. What do? Just read every day, folks. This was it. This was it right there. You know, I was telling Brother McFadden, a friend of mine in Arkansas, and I told him, I said, you know what? I think street preaching keeps me fired up, man. I mean, it keeps me in the fight. Amen. It is exciting. You got to admit it. But you know what? Looking back, that's not right. It's my daily Bible reading. That's what kept me in the fight all these years. That's what gives me a burden and a conviction. That's what gets me out on the streets to go preach and witness to folks. What's that? It's my daily Bible reading. The Word of God, folks. Are you reading your Bible every day? 3 chapters, what do they say? 3 to 4 chapters a day, we'll give it one time a year. Are you reading your Word of God? Do you want revival next month? Or you just want to play revival? You want to play church? Let me ask you something. If your study Bible could speak right now, what would your book say? You know what it'd say? What are you trying to say? The TV remote is choking me out. They got me on top of the TV mode. Oh, come on, folks. Listen, no matter how backslid you are, do never put the TV remote control on top of your Bible. That's a disgrace, the Word of God. Amen? All right. Number 2. That's the first one, your study Bible. Number 2, what is this? I was led to Christ with this Bible. This is a false Bible. This is a New American Standard Bible right here. This Bible... Now listen, I love this Bible. Why? I got my name in there. Look at that. Russell Wright saved February 23rd, March 1979. My friend in the Navy gave me that Bible. And I love this book. But you know what? It's not the Bible. It's not the Bible, folks. It's a fake counterfeit that gets you off the true book. Amen. The true book. You know what this is? This is a sin friendly Bible. It's a sin-friendly Bible. Turn to Deuteronomy 23 real quick. In Deuteronomy 23, somebody read verse 17. Anybody, stand up and read verse 17. Or just, you don't have to stand up, just read it. Deuteronomy. That's it. This is a sin-friendly Bible. Why? Because none of the daughters of Israel shall be cult prostitute, nor shall say any of the sons of Israel be a cult prostitute. They took out whore. They took out sodomite. Why? Because it's a sin-friendly Bible. You can't sell Bibles calling a bunch of whore. Listen, sodomite, here, you need to read this book, sodomite, you whore. Now listen, don't let this go out on tape because you might be in trouble, amen. You know what, in this Bible, the Apostle Paul don't get saved in Acts 9. In this Bible, the thief on the cross, he don't get saved. They take it out. In this Bible, I led my cousin Phil to Christ using Luke 2:33. Why? Because it said Jesus is Father and his mother. It said Joseph was Jesus' father. So you know what? I'm reading in the motel. I'm reading in the motel this morning. And turn to Hebrews 3. And as soon as I get the motel room, you know what I normally do? I look for the Gideon's Bible. Amen. So I'm going in the Gideon's Bible, and guess what? They don't have King James Bibles no more. You can't find it very often. What do they have? They had New King James. So the big deal is, oh, it's New King James. It's right up there with the King James. Amen. So read, somebody turn to Hebrews chapter 3 and read verse 16. Anybody out loud. Okay, now read that one more time, real clear, real loud. See that? It said, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt. Why? Because not everybody rebelled to come out of Egypt. All right? I mean, I know two right offhand that did it. All right? All right? But now look what the New King James says. For who having heard rebelled, indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt? Well, what happened to all them kids 20 years old and younger? What about Caleb? What happened to those guys? No, you know what they just said? They said every person that was led out of Egypt by Moses rebelled and died. So I love this book. I was led to Christ with it, so what do you do with it? That's what it's good for. That's it, folks. That's it, amen? All right. Moving right along. Number three. You see this book? What is this book? This book is the fruit of that book and all other Bibles, false Bibles. You say, what is this? This is a King James Bible. You say, well, how in the world could that be the fruit of that Bible? Because my friend works in the public school in Missouri, janitor, and he went to the trash can and they threw all the Bibles in the school in the trash. You say, what's the fruit of all these false Bibles? They throw the real Bibles in the trash. You get that? Our country throws the Bibles in the trash. We've came a long ways, amen? You see, in Amos, it really is true. There really is a famine in the land. You see, and it ain't bread. It ain't water. We got more food than any country in the world. But you know what we don't have? We don't have the Word of God no more. Why? Because, well, it ain't their fault. It's my fault. It's preacher's fault. It's preacher's fault for not standing up and preaching the truth. Amen? What do? We kick God out. We decided we'd rather be a drunken nation. We kick God out of school. We won't even pray to Him in school. Amen? We kick the Word out. We used to be a holy nation. Now we're what? We're a homo nation. Amen? And I say that with charity because if you're in here and you're gay, then you need to be saved, and we love you. And if you need a hug, just go to Pastor Stevens. So you know what we do as a nation? You know what? You know who burned Bibles? Hitler burns Bibles. Communist countries burn Bibles. Russia, China, it don't matter. Communist countries burn Bibles. Hitler burned Bibles. Muslims burn Bibles. We don't burn our Bibles. We just throw them in the trash. That's the fruit of these false Bibles. We throw the Word of God in the trash. You know what I don't understand? Is why did it the teachers keep those Bibles? Why didn't the teachers rescue them Bibles from being thrown in the trash? You know why? Because we need revived, friends. We need God. You know what Blessed Hope needs? You need revived. You say, we're on fire. You're laid to sin. And you need revived. The simple fact that you think you're fired up is a fact enough that you need revived. We haven't arrived yet, folks. We haven't arrived. We need Jesus Christ to arrive. We need that Holy Spirit of God to descend so heavy in here that you just break out in tears because, you know what, God, I need you. I've sinned against you, and I don't like the way I live my life. With your help, would you help me? We need revived. Why wait till Brother Spurgeon comes, friends? You can have revival right now. It can start today. It can start tonight. This right here. Now, this Bible means a lot to me. My mother died. It'd be 2 years ago in June. This June would be 2 years. This was my mother's Bible. I love my mother. I come from a drunken, wife-beating, men-beating family. Grandpa beat Grandma. Dad beat Mom. My mother and father divorced when I was 2 or 3 years old. And this was my mother's Bible she had next to her bed as long as I've known her. I was 55 years old when my mother died, and this was my mother's Bible. And you know what it is about this book? I never saw my mother read this Bible one time in her life. I'm thinking, what would have been different in my life if I'd have saw my mother read her Bible? Maybe I wouldn't have had to go to jail for 30 days when I was 16 years old. Maybe I wouldn't have got caught stealing all them times. If I'd just seen my mother, just read her Bible. Mothers, what are you doing? Your kids see you read your Bible? What kind of testimony are you? My mother was a hard-working woman. Dad left her. He never paid a child support a day in his life. I loved my father, but he was a good-for-nothing drunk. My mother worked 2 jobs. She worked every chance she could to try to raise me and my sister by herself. No alimony, no support, trying to just make up any kind of a dime here and there. She worked hard and she loved us. But I never saw her read her Bible. Ladies, what a responsibility to your kids. Do your kids see you read your Bible? What's more important? You say, well, you turned out all right. I wonder what would have happened if my mother got up and read her Bible every day. And she set me down on her knee and said, look at this scripture, son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I wonder how it changed the people's lives right here. You girls are going to be mothers. Are you going to read your Bible? Yeah, I love this book. I just wish Mom would have read it. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I told my friend, he's a Church of God, and he's like 65 years old, and I work with him for years. And I told him, I said, my wife and I, we're going to Africa. And he went home and told his wife. And he said, Brother Russell, he was going to Africa. And you know what she said? She said, he can't take her away from them grandchildren like that. Them loving grandkids. He can't take her away from that. You know why Jim and his wife have never done anything for God? Because they're putting their kids ahead of Jesus Christ. You see, folks, you don't have a home until you put Jesus Christ first. You know when Joseph was in Egypt, and his dad was come, and his dad was talking to Pharaoh. I'll tell you what, let's just read it. Turn to Genesis. Turn to Genesis 47. in Genesis 47. We'll start in verse 7. Genesis 47, 7. And Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, how old art thou? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years, few and evil. Now get this. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been. Now when you're getting ready to die, would you like to sum up your life like that? Few and evil have been the days of my life. Turn to Genesis 44. We'll start in verse 27. And thy servant, my father, said unto us, you know that my wife bare me two sons, and the one went out from me, and I said, surely he is torn in pieces, and I saw him not since. And if you take this also from me, and mischief befall him, ye shall bring down my gray hairs and sorrow to the grave. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant my father, and the Lord be not with us, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life. You know what his problem was? What's that? He put his children before Jesus Christ. And friend, your home ain't going to operate correctly until you put Jesus Christ first. Jesus Christ. Now, moms, if you're not reading the Bible, your home ain't right. You're not put in due order. Jesus first, amen, others second, you last. Yeah, I love this book. You know what else moms wish they had? I know a lot of moms. You know what they wish? They wish they had a husband that would guide them spiritually. Fathers, I'm not going to let you get out of this. You should be the spiritual leader of your family. Shame on you. Shame on you. If I knew how some of you lived, I would be disgusted. You can't talk like that as a missionary. I can for another second, amen. You know what women want? They want a husband that'll fear God. How expect your wife to follow you if you're not willing to follow Christ? Maybe your wife ain't reading her Bible because, husband, you're falling short. You're falling short. All right. It's getting better as they go. Amen. We got only one more. And this is an old one, folks. This is an old one. This King James Bible was given to me from a friend of mine. He's dead now. This Bible was written in 1849. This Bible is 166 years old. You say, what's it good for? It's good for setting on the shelf. And that's about it. You know what I fear most of all in my life? Is I don't want God to set me on the shelf. I want to be used of God. Don't you want to be used of God? Don't you want God to do something in your lives? You know how it starts? It starts every day just reading the Word of God. And have a revival every morning when you get up and you read the Word of God. The entrance of thy Word giveth life. Let God speak to you. I'm afraid God will put me on the shelf. And said, I'm sorry, I can't use you. Like a hen would gather her chickens up. I kept trying to get you to do something for me, but you just refused. Folks, if you're not careful, God will put you on the shelf. And you believe me, you don't want that. Brother Williams was 81 years old. I wish I had his picture right now. Brother Williams was 81 years old, and he got under conviction. Why? He'd been saved his whole life, and he'd never done anything for God. So at 81 years old, you know what he done? He sold everything he had and went to Japan as a missionary. 81 years old. He lived in Japan for 2 years, tried to lead as many people to Christ as he could, and he got so sick after 2 years he had to come back. And he painted, right before he died, when he's 83 years old, and right before he died, he painted me a picture of hell, people burning in hell. And I asked him, I said, Brother Williams, I said, what stirred you up to, you know, to go as a missionary at 81 years old? And he said, I'd lived my whole life, and I'd never done anything for Christ. How about you folks? How old are you? Yeah. He's 3 years older than you. How old are you, sir?
91.
Woo! Amen. Amen. He sold everything he had. You know why? Because he didn't want to be on the shelf no more. And he went out fired up for God. Why? Because I don't want to be put on the shelf. Y'all ever remember watching that movie? Andy Griffith, Sheriff of Mayberry? Amen. What was Andy Griffith's name? Anybody know? Sheriff Taylor? Yeah, you had Barney Fife, you had Opie, Sheriff Taylor. Well, you know what? You know Opie wrote a poem about Barney Fife? And a friend told me this here, and I said, man, I got to write that down. Amen. So Opie wrote a poem about Barney Fife, and this is it right here. There used to be a deputy called Fife. He had a gun and a knife. The gun was dusty and the knife was rusty because Deputy Fife had never caught a criminal in his life. You see, your gun is dusty and your knife is rusty because you have never led a sinner to Christ in your life. I wonder how close some of you all are just being put on the shelf. I'm sorry, but I just can't use you. I just can't use you no more. You know, the guy's going to cut that fig tree down. You know what he said? The Lord said, I'm just going to cut that thing down. The guy said, no, wait a minute. Let me dig around it and put some manure around it. Let's give it another shot. You know what you have today, friends? You have another shot. You can be revived. You know where it starts? It starts right here. It starts with me. It starts with you. God, I don't want to be put on the ship. I don't want to be like other Christians, God. Help me right now. Help me get fired up. Help me have a daily reading Bible schedule. Just help me, God, get on fire for you and do something for you. Is that what you all want? Wherefore let them that think as he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Revival. It's coming up. Why don't we surprise Brother Spurgeon and we be revived when he gets here? Let God use you. Go ahead, brother. Let God use you.
All right, the altar's open. this week has shown something. Everybody here knows how much we labor to get a result. Sometimes we preach on the streets on a regular basis, and sometimes it's months on end when we don't lead somebody to Christ. Knock doors every Saturday. A lot of folks are here every week, and we've come to count a victory when somebody actually stops and considers and gets under conviction. Sometimes it's many months on end before somebody actually gets saved. So you live in a unique day, at least here in the States, where there's a lot of labor and a lot of plowing and a lot of stumping, an awful lot of groundwork that's done before you see what some have seen in the past, and you can go somewhere else in some other land and see. But you should not be discouraged by those results. If you won't be revived, who will? I don't speak of me, but you get preached at all the time. The preachers that come through here are Bible believers. I don't know a missionary that's come through here in 27 years that's not a Bible believer. And you get the hell preached out of him. If you won't be revived, my question is, who will? It's not Eagle Brook over here a few blocks away. It's not Emmanuel Christian Center. And I hope you'll resolve yourself to labor for the fruit that's hard to get. And it is some of it. But I hope you'll plug away. And I hope you won't get discouraged when some weeks go by when things don't go as you wish they would have. Keep fighting the fight. Let's take our hymn book and turn to number 179. I enjoyed the tale of five Bibles. Amen. So let's take a look at that first Bible here, number 179. Another minute here. I'm going to take a love offering for Brother Wright tonight. As we told you, I'm not sure if you guys have scrambled the plates yet. I think Brother Chris is gone tonight. I was telling Brother Wright that right now, of course, we're scrambling, squeezing, trying to get the mortgage paid off the next 4 or 5 years. Also have a couple of our own missionaries out of our church that we picked up here recently. And what Brother Wright said, he said, if you can't take me on now, please put me on the list and pray for me. And certainly that can happen. I hope that, you know, we haven't seen an awful lot of African missionaries come through. We had somebody going to Ethiopia here recently, somebody in Malawi some time back. It's like the courier's trips to Eastern Europe. There's a different spirit in those countries now. There's a different openness. And like what you saw tonight, you know, there are men that you can help that are going someplace where the gospel is received on a regular basis. It's our call to labor here where the Lord's planted us. But boy, you can be a great help to somebody that's trying to do something somewhere else. And so I hope you'll pray for Brother Wright. As a church, we can't take him on right now. I told him we're going to make it worth his time to be here tonight. But certainly for the future, we want to keep him on the prayer list and think about taking him on. So I hope that you'll help us get in that position. If the Lord touches you to support him personally, I hope that you'll consider that. But in the meantime, we're going to take up this offering, give him everything that comes in tonight. So please be generous once again, as I know you will. Let's have a word of prayer. Brian, darling, would you pray?
Heavenly Father, thank you once again. We are meet here and thank you for this brother going to Africa and really blessed him. And just thank you for the Bible that he did give us. And precious blood was given to that Bible. And a lot of times we just throw it aside, help us to pick it up again and dust it off. And some of us that need it dusting off and just get back into it. And please let God appreciate you. Thank you for it. First, we'll put on the book. You know, to be able to reach some sinner this week.
Amen. Amen. Being here today. Again, it's been a good week. Some folks saved this week. That's a blessing. Keep praying for my sister Kim in the hospital, and we'd appreciate that. Don't forget to sign up if you'll consider sending your kids to Camp Shatak here the first week of August. Please don't forget to sign your name back there. Let us get a clue on that. So, anyways, we're going to be dismissed. If you want to stand, it's good to have Trenton Brown here tonight. He and Priscilla are here. Brother Trenton, would you pray for us in closing? Good night, everybody.